The scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. Paul sent to Ephesus to summon the elders of the church. When they joined him, he spoke to them as follows. You know how from the day that I set foot in the province of Asia, I spent my whole time with you, serving the Lord in all humility amid the sorrows and trials that came upon me through the intrigues of the Jews. You know that I kept back nothing that was for your good. I delivered the message to you and taught you in public and in your homes. With Jews and Gentiles alike, I insisted on repentance before God and faith in our Lord Jesus. Now, as you see, I am constrained by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I do not know what will befall me there, except that in city after city, the Holy Spirit assures me that imprisonment and hardship await me. For myself, I set no store by life. All I want is to finish the race and complete the task which the Lord Jesus assigned to me, that of bearing my testimony to the gospel of God's grace. One thing more, I have gone among you proclaiming the kingdom, but now I know that none of you will ever see my face again. That being so, I here and now declare that no one's fate can be laid at my door. I have kept back nothing. I have disclosed to you the whole purpose of God. Keep guard over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has given you charge, as shepherds of the church of the Lord, which he won for himself by his own blood. I know that when I am gone, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise who will distort the truth in order to get the disciples to break away and follow them. So be on the alert. Remember how with tears I never ceased to warn each one of you night and day for 3 years. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which has power to build you up and give you your heritage among all those whom God has made his own. Did you ever learn to ride a bike? Do you remember what it was like those beginning days in that journey? Perhaps your parents had gotten you a bike ahead of time to spur you on into learning how to ride one. You went up and you had admired it. You ran your hands over the handlebars, down the rails, and you imagined what it would be like to ride that bike. Because maybe you had friends who had already been out there on the roads riding around, and you were envious of them. Do you remember what it was like to get on the bike for the first time? Perhaps you were lucky enough to have a parent who was there to help you or coach you, maybe an elder sibling or a friend who would hold the bike steady as you were learning how to do this. I remember my dad behind me, coaching me, telling me that I could do this. And for several of those first few times, he would be right there with me. But I remember that day when suddenly I was farther along the road than I expected, and I hazarded a turn of my head over my shoulder, and I saw my dad standing a good ways away. And that moment, I realized that I could do this on my own, and now all the kinds of responsibilities that went along with that, that I could ride my bike down the street. Of course, there are several points in life that might be like this, too. Stephanie and I have had this journey over the last couple of years with Savannah, and now suddenly Ian hit 15 and now has the possibility of getting a license, too. But I remember that time when Savannah was to drive on her own to her piano lesson and that she would be coming back in the dark by herself. And I think about all those times that we've been in the car together and telling her what it was like to drive a car, but now finally I had to pull my hands back like my dad did when he was helping me with the bike and let go. Some of you as parents have discovered that that can be one of the hardest lessons, letting go. And we think about the church, and we think about the way the church is an ongoing movement. God is over all, the Holy Spirit guiding the church community. But often, from time to time, we have different leaders coming in, contributing at different points and different moments. We think about how Jesus himself had trained the disciples to be apostles. And we've spoken of that difficult transition from one who follows Jesus around, who listens, now to one after Jesus ascends back into heaven, now to be an apostle, to be one who has to show the initiative and step out there and carry on the ministry that Jesus has given to us. We certainly see this in this passage in Acts 20. This is Paul's farewell letter to the church in Ephesus. And if you've been paying attention over the last several weeks, you know Ephesus was quite a challenge for the Apostle Paul. To begin with, he and his friends, Timothy and Silas, and presumably Luke as well, because now we're moving into the we pronouns in the book of Acts, they had to get on a boat for the very first time in Paul's missionary journeys to travel over into this territory. And then, after being in several other cities, and crucially Athens, one of the centers of the world at the time, now he settled his sights on Ephesus. But in Ephesus, we know there are at least three major problems. One, we see Apollos going around preaching for repentance, but not knowing the follow-up lesson about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then we know about the sons of the chief priest who think that Paul's healings are a new magic that they are supposed to learn. But when they try it out, what happens? The demoniac jumps on them and drives them out. And then 2 weeks ago, we spoke about Demetrius and those who were earning money off of the religious system in the city of Ephesus, and how they were so mad that Paul's teachings were completely undermining that establishment. The bottom line was money. And so after all that time and all those struggles, Paul trying to set them straight, we now have Paul feeling the tug to go back to Jerusalem. And you know, Jerusalem was that crucial place in Jewish life. The covenant had been centered around Jerusalem for a long time. Jesus' ministry culminated in the cross and the resurrection in Jerusalem. We know that the Apostle Paul had spent his own time in Jerusalem persecuting Christians before his conversion on the road to Damascus. And then we know that after his conversion, he went back to Jerusalem and spent some time with the church leaders there, learning from them what it was like to be a follower of Jesus. But now, Paul is elsewhere, and he feels that tug to come back to Jerusalem. And that means he has to say farewell to this congregation in Ephesus. He has traveled around at some of the other spots nearby, has continued building ministries, sharing the gospel in these other places. But because of his special efforts, he needs to have a farewell to Ephesus. We mentioned a little part of this farewell 2 weeks ago when he says, I didn't want to have any part of the wealth that was in the city, so Demetrius and company can't pin anything on me. However, there's a lot more in this letter. If you read through it closely, you know Paul, as he does in many of his letters, emphasizes, I lived among you for a time, and here he says 3 years. He says, you've seen me, you've watched me, you've seen how I've modeled what it is to be a disciple of Christ. And for many of us, hearing these passages, if we saw someone in our community saying these kinds of things, we might say, well, aren't you calling a lot of attention to yourself? We have the liberty of pointing to the Bible for our examples. You've got to remember that this is in the time when the church is just growing. And one of the primary ways to express what it is to be a disciple is to say, this is the way I've lived. Testimony. Testimonies are still important for us today. And so Paul begins with his testimony, asking them to remember how he has been faithful among them. And then he starts thinking. And this is the point where I think it's like the parent walking with child on the bicycle, holding the seat. Now Paul is anticipating this point where he's got to let go. And that church is going to go forward. Will it maintain its balance? Will it wobble? Will it fall? He certainly has seen a number of challenges in this community. And he anticipates those. He uses the metaphor of savage wolves. We today, when we study wolves and know anything about wolves are beautiful social animals that work together. But if that pack ever sets its target on you, then you know you have to face serious hunters. And so Paul is anticipating this point when these savage wolves are going to cause trouble for this congregation. He will no longer be just over the hill at the nearby town for them to call back. Instead, they're going to learn how to carry on to the next step on their own with their new leaders. Whatever way God shapes this congregation from that point forward, Paul lets go. He at this point says it's crucially important to remember that what we're all doing is running the race that God has given to us. And that what is most important is that we follow Christ and that we emulate Christ and we carry on the preaching of the gospel. And so here you remember that these are his final words. He tells them there are going to be things that are going to tear down your congregation. There are going to be challenges. You will have to rise to face those challenges. But I have every confidence that the Holy Spirit will be there, invigorating you, giving you the energy and the power to do that. And so as we read this passage today, we think about our own experience in the life of the church. Perhaps you remember the first time you were in this church. Perhaps you remember Sunday school teachers, choir directors, pastors, other ministers, deacons, church secretaries, others who might have had influence on you to encourage you to go in the life of a disciple. But perhaps there was a point where you graduated from a Sunday school class and moved on to another one. Perhaps there was a point when a minister moved away. Perhaps there was a point when a deacon or a Sunday school leader died. And in all of these moments, you're left to wonder, can I go the next step in the journey? And certainly as you start praying for the first weekend in June and bringing in the new candidate, start asking for guidance, listening to the Holy Spirit, asking God to help you meet the challenges of a transition, the challenges that continue to face you as a congregation, the challenges of a world facing a pandemic, the challenges of a world that still doesn't think Christianity offers much other than hypocrisy and illusion. In the middle of all these challenges, you as a congregation need to take your next steps. Stephanie and I will be praying for you. We ask that the Holy Spirit will invigorate you and give you the power and the courage to face the challenges that are ahead. And we do all this to run the race that Christ has called each of us to. We come now to a time of invitation and commitment, a time for you to consider what it is to be a disciple of Christ. If you've never made that commitment, this church community would love to talk to you and to encourage you on that journey. If you've already made that commitment and passed through the waters of baptism, take heart from the words of the Apostle Paul in this letter. The Holy Spirit is here in your midst. Listen and seek guidance.